37, 38 years ago, I was preaching for a young friend. We were both young, down in Albany, Georgia. And he had begun a path toward heresy, suggesting that you have to have saving knowledge, he called it, and talked about how much knowledge you must have. Subverting the gospel of God's grace, making salvation not the work of God's Spirit, but rather the work of your brain power, your intellect, your learning. And I sat in his living room, he and his wife and some other preachers, and I said to him, it doesn't matter what you put between the sinner and Christ. It's works. Doesn't matter if we talked about experience, our knowledge, our baptism, our keeping the law, whatever you put between the sinner and Christ is works, and it's wrong, and it's damning. Sadly, he refused to hear the counsel. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, I'm concerned for you, lest Satan should beguile you as he did our mother Eve from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. That word simplicity is simplicity. 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 Simple. Simple. The gospel of God's grace is the greatest mystery in the world, but it's proclaimed with simplicity. It's embraced with simplicity. It's believed with simplicity. The word simplicity also means singleness, the singularity that is in Christ Jesus. I'm here today to show you the way. That's my subject, the way. I want you to take your Bible in your hand, turn to Isaiah chapter 35, and let me show you the way. When our grandson Will was just a little shaver, just a little over a year old, and first started walking, we were all together on the beach one day, and about the only reason I had to go to the beach is for their sake, so we were on the beach, and Faith got a picture of Will and I walking down the beach. And after I saw the picture, I thought, that's what I want to do for that boy all his life. It was just of our backside. I was leaning way over, I was a bigger man at that time, and had him by the hand. He was stretching as far as he could, and I was guiding him along the coast of the beach, showing him the way as we moved along. My business is to show you the way. You'll find my text in Isaiah 35, verses 8, 9, and 10. Job cried, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Thomas said, how can we know the way? Are you interested? Do you desire to know the way to God, the way to heaven, the way of life, the way of salvation? Isaiah is here describing the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and salvation brought by him. He says in verse 8, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, pilgrims, strangers, though fools, unlearned, ignorant, not smart, fools, fools with regard to everything else, counted fools by the world, wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err in this way. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, blessed be God. There is a way to God for sinners. There is a way to heaven for sinners. There is a way of salvation for sinners. Lindsay's been teaching us with regard to the tabernacle on Sunday mornings for quite some time. And that tabernacle, if you stood out and looked at it, you'll see that there's a curtain there. Going up to the curtain is an altar. Altar of sacrifice. Altar of cleansing. You go inside and get in that first veil and you see a table of showbread and candlestick. But there's still another curtain there. Back yonder is the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant where God said, I will meet you there. Well, how can I get there? I've got to go through that altar, that sacrifice. I've got to go with that priest through that cleansing brazen altar and cleanse myself. And I've got to go up through the light and through the bread and through the veil into that holy of holies to find acceptance with God. That's the only way. Christ said, I am the way. That's all talking about me. It is with joy that I come here today to declare to you from Holy Scripture, there is a way from the city of destruction to the celestial city. There is a way from darkness to light, from death to life. There is a way by which you and I, separated from God by a great gulf of sin, may come to God Himself and live forever. Now I want to show you the way itself. That's going to take up the bulk of my time. Then we'll look at a couple of other things. The way as it is described for us in Holy Scripture. This is what you must know. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the way. Look at two texts of Scripture, Isaiah 62, and of course, John chapter 14. Isaiah 62. I've told you many times in the Old Testament about the cities of refuge, and the way had to be maintained. They would send out a crew annually to smooth out the rough places, to tear away any debris that was in the way, to make the road level, picturing the preaching of the gospel. Isaiah 62, verse 10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. John chapter 14, our Lord Jesus speaks. He's about to depart from this world. He's about to suffer and die in our stead. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. There's no salvation if I don't go away. Then he says in verse 1 of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the way. Well, what does that mean? That's so simple nobody has to ask, do they? I am the way. Should I be asked to tell you how to drive from here to Winston-Salem, North Carolina? In the old days, we'd have got a map out, an atlas, and I'd take a blue marker or a yellow highlighter, and I would just mark the road. And when you'd open the map up and look at it, you see that blue marker? Well, that's the way. And how do you get out of this building? Where's the way out? That's the way. That's the way. That's the way. The door marks the way. Nothing could be simpler. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way. Out of this building, there are many ways. Going from Danville, Kentucky to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, there are many ways. Going from hell, from heaven, from hell to heaven, there's one way. Going from darkness to light, there's one way. Going from death to life, there's one way. Going from Satan to God, there's one way. Christ is the way. Be sure you understand that at the start. To go wrong here is to go to hell. Salvation is by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ alone. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no other way. Believing on the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, we enter upon the way. Receiving His Spirit, we stand in the way. Following our Redeemer's steps, we walk in the way. The wayfaring men, the fools, shall walk therein. What a description of the life of faith. We walk. We walk. Don't run. We walk. We walk. Walk comfortably as we follow Christ in the way. Walk peaceably as we walk with God in the way. We walk through this world as wayfaring men. Pilgrims, wayfaring men, seldom run. They only run when they're afraid. They walk at a steady pace. And believers are men and women who walk in the way with God. Believing on the Savior, following Him, we walk in the way, and holding fast to Him, we will reach the end of the way. When we find Christ, we find the way. We find the way of truth, and we find the way of life. Our Savior said, I am the way. Without me, there's no going. I am the way that was pointed to in all the Scriptures. I am the truth. I am the revelation of God. I am the Word of God. I am that one who has come to make known the Father. I am the truth. I am the life. The life. The gift of life. Life everlasting. Without me, there's no living. The only way of salvation is Christ Jesus the Lord. He is our peace. He is our holiness. He is our salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness is the only righteousness that God will accept. His blood, the only payment God will accept. His grace, the only power that can bring us to God. There is no other way. Many roads lead to destruction. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, Solomon said, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way is the same. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about Buddhist or Papist or Baptist or Islamic folks or Jewish folks, Pentecostal folks or Presbyterian folks, Methodist folks or Mormon folks. They all pursue the same way. Some of them wear different costumes. They play different games, but they pursue the same way. The way of salvation for them all. The way of salvation for all men by nature is their own doing. The work of their own hands, something that hinges on them, something determined by them, something dependent on them. That's the way to destruction. The end thereof are the ways of death. For the believer, there's only one way. Christ is the way. To direct sinners to any other way than Christ, or to any way in addition to Christ, is to direct them to hell. What are you saying, Pastor? Christ is the way, not legal works, not Sabbath keeping, not sacrifices, not doing things. Christ is the way, not religious rituals, not baptism, not the Lord's Supper, not church membership, not moral reformation. Christ is the way, not going down the Romans road, not walking down the aisle, not signing a decision card, not saying a prayer that somebody recites for you. Christ is the way. You must come to God by faith in Christ. Come to God right now, right where you are, without saying anything, without doing anything. I don't even suggest that you pray. Come to God right now. You don't move a muscle. You come to God by faith in Christ with your heart. Come to Him right now, right now. The way never changes. I know we live in modern times and folks invent all kinds of things. I had no regard for common conservative fundamentalist religion when I was a young man. I considered it idolatry then. Free will works religion has always been idolatry. But the religion has changed these days. I saw something just recently. I forgot where I saw it. But I knew the former pastor of the church. He was a well-dressed, sharp-looking, well-mannered fellow. Sharp. I mean sharp. Armenian, but sharp. He hated God, but he was sharp. And he had things organized, and they did things in a respectful way. Now, the pastor's got hair down to his shoulders, and he wears bleached-out T-shirts and blue jeans and tennis shoes and plays a guitar and dances on stage. Things change. Things change. Doctrine hasn't changed any, but things change. The way of life never changes. Christ is the way, the only way. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. I'm talking about that one who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Those who pretend that God changes, that God changes with the time, that the message of the gospel changes with the times, that salvation changes with the times, are idle dreamers. They know nothing of the grace of God. Nothing. We cannot be washed from sin but by the blood of Christ. We cannot be made righteous but by the righteousness of Christ. We cannot be made holy but by the holiness of Christ. We cannot have access to God but by the intercession of Christ. The way to God is the way of grace. Grace. If Christ is the way, you must be in the way. You must walk in the way. But you listen to me. The only way you're ever going to be in that way is if God puts you in the way. If God puts you in the way. God put His people in Christ before the world was. And God puts His people in Christ by almighty, effectual, irresistible grace. I'm preaching to you grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I believe on the Son of God. By the grace of God, I will continue believing on the Son of God by the grace of God. I walk with God by the grace of God. I trust my Savior by the grace of God. And if you come to trust Him now, I call you again. Come to Him now. Come to Him. If you can. Oh, if you can. If you can come to Him. If you can believe on the Son of God. God gave you faith. God put you in the way. We believe in salvation by grace. Eternal, sovereign, electing grace. Effectual, redeeming grace. Irresistible, regenerating grace. The way described in our text, the way described in the book of God, is a costly way. It's called an highway. And highway shall be there. I have a dear friend, Brother Bill Honey. I haven't heard from him in so long. I presume he's with the Lord now. Bill and his wife Nita were here many times when they were younger. He worked for T.O. James all his life. He was one of the big supervisors. And he built highways all over the country. I called him one day, driving across the stretch of road I knew they had built, that had been rough ever since the day it was built, Interstate 40, going out of West Memphis, through West Memphis, Arkansas. And they were working on it again. I called Bill, chatted with him a little bit, and I said, Bill, it must have cost a lot to build this road here. He said, Brother Dodd, now this is back some years ago. He said, I'll tell you what it costs to build a four-lane highway. Doesn't matter whether you're building it through a mountain, over a mountain, across a river, or on flat land. You can bank on it. It's $1 million a mile. That was a long time ago. That's costly road. This highway, oh, what a costly road. God gave the treasure of His heart. God gave His own dear Son. God delivered up His Son to sin and death and condemnation, to suffer all the fury of His wrath, all the hell we deserved, that He might make us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That we might walk this way with Him to God. This is a highway. The word might be translated, a causeway shall be there. A raised highway, one that's lifted up and covers the deep ravines of this wilderness and the shifting sands of this desert and tunnels through the mountains of darkness and ungodliness. This is the greatest feat the world has ever known. None but the God of love would have done it. None but God in His infinite wisdom could design it. None but God, the God of omnipotent mercy and grace, could perform it. This highway cost God His Son. It was designed by Him in eternal love. Its foundations laid in divine predestination, built by the obedience of the Son of God Himself in His life and in His death. This road has lasted now for thousands of years, and it never needs to be repaired. Untold millions have walked this way, and takes us from here to glory, from hell to heaven, from death to life. This is an open highway, built by divine appointment, by the appointment of the King of Heaven, and it's open, a free way to all. It's not a toll road, but a free road. The way of grace is a high and holy way. Our text calls it a highway because the way in which we walk is above the low, groveling paths of this world. Those who walk this way have been raised together with Christ. Raised up from the dead with Him. Made set down with Him in heavenly places. It's called the way of holiness. The way of holiness. It's founded upon holy truth, holy justice, and holy grace. God never alters. God never changes. God never bends His law, His holiness, His justice, and His truth, not even to save sinners. Eternal holiness will not allow God to wink at sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There's only one way by which sinners can both die and live, and that's in the doing and dying of our substitute and His resurrection from the dead. Our faith is a holy faith. We're called to walk in a holy calling, and we're saints of God called a holy nation, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Walking in this way of grace and faith is walking in the way of holiness. Now let me tell you what that means, a holy way. People say the grace of God produces holiness, and they mean by that the grace of God will cause you, enable you to become a holy person, and you will live in holiness. And people will look at you and say, my, isn't he a holy man? He's so holy. He's such a fool who thinks so. Grace produces holiness, but grace doesn't enable you to produce holiness. Grace produces holiness, making us new creatures in Christ, making us partakers of the divine nature, giving us that new man created in righteousness and in true holiness, so that the believer walks in this world with this constant struggle with sin and self and flesh and ungodliness. This thing called Don Fortner that's born of the devil, this thing that commits sin, born of Adam, this thing that's vile and ugly and mean and God-hating and repugnant to God and repugnant to man and repugnant to me, this thing, flesh, but in me another man, a new man, a man that cannot sin because he's born of God, a man called Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the believer walks with God in this way, dragging this carcass until at last he is delivered from the bondage of sin and death by the grace of God into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Yes, the way of holiness is a way of holiness, and it's a straight and narrow way. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that go in thereat. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there are which go in thereat. Many, many years ago, Brother Maurice Montgomery stood in this pulpit and made this statement. He said, the gate is so straight, you can't take anything in with you. And the way is so narrow, you can't pick up any baggage along the way. Christ is the straight gate. Christ is the narrow way. The way of life is not your experience, not your knowledge, not your baptism, not your works, not your Bible reading, not your Sabbath keeping, not your change of life, not your moral reformation, not to quit drinking and quit cussing and quit smoking and quit doing other stuff and started acting funny. The way of life is Christ alone. Can you? Oh, can you? Can you cast the whole weight of your soul, the whole weight of your being, the whole weight of life, the whole weight of God's demands of righteousness and justice and holiness and truth? Can you cast everything on the doing and dying of a substitute man, Jesus Christ the Lord? If you can, God has put you in the way. Look at the text again. and see how this way is described as being reserved for a specific people. Our text says, the unclean shall not pass over it. The unclean shall not pass over it. But Pastor, I thought you said we come to Christ only as sinners. That's the only way you come. But I thought you said we're sinners as long as we live in this world. That's right. But this sinner, this vile wretch of a man, is going to perish as he must. Now this new man walks with God in the way. Clean. Being cleansed from all sin by the precious blood of Christ. Being washed with the renewing of the Holy Ghost and the washing of regeneration. But it shall be for those wayfaring men, pilgrims. It shall be for those, the redeemed of the Lord. It shall be for those, the ransomed of the Lord. Those words used here, this word redeemed particularly, refers to several things. First, it means next of kin. And then it means purchased. And it means ransomed, delivered. And it means loosed. The believer, the heaven-born soul, is made clean by the circumcision of the heart, by the circumcision of the spirit in the new birth. He is next of kin to the kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ the Lord. He has been redeemed. The Lord Jesus bought him. This is particular effectual redemption. He bought him with his own blood, and in time he comes and looses him, sets him free. You, being justified by his grace, are freed from sin. Reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. We are the circumcision, Paul says, circumcised in heart. That's what the Old Testament circumcision was about. The cutting away of the foreskin of the flesh, separating the foreskin of the flesh, the filth of the flesh, from the man. Now we, being born again, circumcised in heart, made clean by the Spirit of God. Who are they who are circumcised? Those who worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Redeemed. Redeemed with the precious blood of God's own dear Son. And we walk here as wayfaring men. Pilgrims. The hymn writer put it this way. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My Savior pardoned me, and now onward I must go. Upon the highway of his grace to heaven's blissful shore, my Savior will yet lead me there, though I am weak and poor. The way spoken of here in Isaiah 35 is a safe and secure way. If you have a marginal translation in your Bible, you'll notice the words in verse 8 might be added, for he shall be with him. We walk in this way. The Lord God walks with us. Our Savior walks with us. Near at hand. Always present. To protect his sheep. To care for his own. To deliver his child. And the way is simple. Wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Simple. So simple, so plain, little children can understand it. What is this way? God's children hear the shepherd's voice. Do you know how smart sheep are? Do you have any idea how smart sheep are? Did any of you ever go see a sheep do a trick in a circus? Did anybody ever see a sheep obey a command? Anybody? Did you ever see anybody try to train a sheep to show off? Anybody? They are the dumbest critters. I mean dumb. Dumb. Stupid critters. I'll tell you how smart they are. They hear the shepherd's voice, and they know what nobody else does. And they follow the shepherd. Oh, how simple is this way? If you hear his voice, you'll follow him. If you hear his voice, you'll follow him. They received God's revelation. This is God's book. They believe it. God said it. I believe it. That makes it so. No, God said it. That makes it so. They believe it. Well, you need to catch up with the times. I know. Well, you need some education. I know. Well, you need to read some other things. I know. They receive God's revelation. They believe and bow to God's word. They obey God's command. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They follow the shepherd's lead. And I'll tell you something else they'll do. You can go up to a field full of sheep. And I've got two in there. And Lindsay's got 98. And I can go up there and call those sheep. And call those sheep. And call those sheep. Till I'm blue in the face. And there'll be two of them come after me. Just two. Two aisle. That's all. Lindsay go up there and said, psst. And here come the whole 98 sheep. Follow him. Smart? No. Yeah, they hear the shepherd's voice. And they won't follow a stranger. Following Christ in the way, they go to glory. Now, let me show you something about the happiness of those who walk in this way. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like to thee, O people of the Lord. The shield of thy help, the sword of thy excellency. Look at verse 9. No lion shall be there. No lion shall be there. Satan walks as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But the text says no lion shall be there. Pilgrim describes the child of God making his way up to the celestial city, to the house beautiful, and he's found the way. Evangelist has shown him the way, and he goes and he comes to a dark, dark, dark place in the path. But this is the way, and he's got to go this way, and he hears suddenly the sound of a roaring lion, and he's terrified. That lion roars. Who wouldn't be terrified? But he's got that's the only way. He can't get home any other way. He's got to stay in this way. And so he goes on. And he moves on. He hears that lion roar. And he gets closer and he sees a black lion on either side of the path, roaring and jumping at him and pawing at him, roaring. And he's terrified, but there's no other way to go. He's got to stay on the path. And so he goes on in the way, and he gets a little closer. And he sees that the lion is on a long, strong chain, held in the hands of his omnipotent Savior. And he's got no fangs, and he's got no claws. All he can do is roar. There shall be no lion there to harm you in the way. No ravenous beast. Those who would accuse you, those who would condemn you, those who would destroy you, they'll not be found in this way. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They'll come singing, Amazing Grace, redeemed, how I love to proclaim. There is a fountain filled with blood. Everlasting joy on their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness. Only joy and gladness. And sorrow and sighing shall be no more. Shall flee away. Come to God by faith in Christ right now, right where you are, and walk peaceably to glory, trusting Jesus Christ with songs of gladness in your heart and bursting from your soul. Amen.